I'm well.
Hey, got you.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm just checking. I said, got you.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You sound better.
I'm here.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it for
need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be.
Can't
do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Preaching, yeah, yeah, all preaching.
wake up, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Kathy Clyburn is recovering from a germ and has lost her voice, so I, Sister Rebecca Johnson, will be her understudy for this evening's show. We would like to encourage each one of you to triple up on your hand washing in her honor. Bringing Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth so they will become good, productive citizens and be the kind of people that will make contributions to others all around the world. All they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we must do the same for them. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. So what do we propose to bring back the family, so that we do it block by block? Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do for the next generation to have what they need to develop into good, productive citizens. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spend quality time so that we would not be a nuisance to the community. Picture this, parents, young people growing into adults and going out into the community with no worry about them making a bad name for themselves or the family. It's time to give back. It's time to call for reform. Whose responsibility is it? What are we going to make up our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges, support, and sacrifices needed to make a difference and change the world? Who is willing? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch and running the race, doing great things? We prepared them. We can do this. We need to meet them where they are. How can we teach our children to reverence God and live according to his word? How can we teach our children to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves? How can we teach our children to be quiet and mind their own business and work with their own hands? The youth today need more than what we had. It's a different time and a different generational mindset. Welcome, welcome, listeners, all around this beautiful world. I'm your host, Sister Rebecca Johnson, filling in for Sister Kathy Clyburn. And I'm happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, where we focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture and prayer. We have here to help us do so is our very own Ms. Vandergrift. Take it away, Ms. Vandergrift.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And hello, everybody. And hello, co-host Callie Pierce, Ms. Pierce. Welcome on the team as well. We Ms. Kathy, we are praying for you to recover. And what I'm reading here is the living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith of God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts, doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, giver of life, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for all the listeners and all those who will contribute to the discussion tonight. I ask that you bless each person that is listening now or will listen in the future and bless Sister Deaconess Kathy for her sacrifices and contributions to assist the ones with the purest hearts, children. We thank you that your work through her inspires each of us to make our own sacrifices. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we have already received and for the opportunity to come boldly to your throne to ask for even more. We thank you for Pastor O and his wisdom to produce this show. I ask that you please give us the courage to be uncomfortable as you show each of us ways to nurture and protect children in need and right the wrongs we see in our neighborhoods today. We thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic for this evening is the value of communication. Words have power. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, standing in for Sister Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and we have Ms. Vandergrift with us, also Callie Pierce with us, to expand on this subject and share their wisdom about the power of words.
Thank you so much. And, you know, as we look at this subject, it is so important that how we interact with our children and how our actions around them will affect them, and it will give them a control their direction. So, you know, I was looking at certain things that were pertaining to that, and I looked at Proverbs 18 and 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it, when we look at that, we look at how important it is, not just in our homes, but also how we conduct ourselves in the community. Because, you know, it's amazing how children will remember everything about you. And I see some of the kids when I was working at Mark Twain, and now they're grown. Back then, they were very small, first grade, second grade, third grade. And now they remember me, and I don't remember them. But the impact was so great that I'm thankful that I left something positive for children. But sometimes what we need to understand, and I was looking at how some of the things that they were saying, forgiveness. And it said here that there will be times when our teens or children will disappoint us. They will break rules, make a bad choice, or say something that catches you completely off guard. It's normal. It's expected. But it's how we correct them. And also by correcting them, teach them forgiveness. Not only should we forgive them, but they have to learn how to forgive themselves for their wrong. So as we go through this, and I look at the gifts that Sister Kathy has, one of the things that she was sharing with the parents is that we have to be able to teach our children that we trust them when they go out, that in a controlled environment, when they go out, but also teach them how to trust themselves as they go out. If you have expectations of yourself to be on your best behavior, you're trusting yourself that you are going to do everything right. And one of the things that I remember her saying to one of the families is that we want our children to become independent. So when we take them to different outings, that is a step process, is a plan that we're putting in place, teaching them how to network, teaching them how to socialize, teaching them how to respond in certain situations as life go on, as a life experience. So trusting our young people and forgiving them, and also we're not perfect. They have to know how to forgive us in being positive. Would you like to respond on that, Sister Pierce or Sister Johnson?
That is so profound what you said, that they need to learn to forgive themselves and to forgive us for the mistakes we make.
That's
and
it.
I just agree with you.
You know what? And as I was reading, and it said that we are only stewardships or caretakers. So God has given us, appointed us, the responsibility to be a caretaker and guide our youth. But I also was reading this, and this is something I brought to your attention, and we were on the same page with it. The two most powerful words in the English language are I am. So knowing me, I said, well, let me go and do some little research, because I know Pastor O, and this is what we said about the author, Pastor O, you better have some chapters from the Bible, some books from the Bible to back up what you're saying. So as we did it, we said, what comes after I am will shape your life, controls your decision. So then we looked over here in Exodus 3 and 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Powerful. Then in Romans 11 and 36, for of him and through him and all things. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So if I am who I am, is that powerful? I am, you're saying, I am through God powerful. I am through God strong. I am through God healthy. I am through God successful, disciplined, capable of anything. I am my child. I am my Father's child. That's taking your life to another level. And I liked that when I read that, you know? And I said, I was looking at through here, that's a part of being positive. But now we were talking about this, about the finances, and I hadn't thought about this in all these years. My son will be 50 this year, and I remember back at, we were talking, and it came up about when he was 14. He wanted this, and he wanted that, and I have to have this. Everybody's wearing this type of shoes. I believe it was Converse at that time, or one of those shoes that they were wearing. But anyway, so that particular day I got paid, and my mind said, cash your check. Bring it home. I put the check on the table, the cash on the table, the bills on the table. I made some Kool-Aid. We had little refreshments. We sat and talked, and I said, now it's time to teach you how to budget the money. So he had to put all of the money in the envelopes for each bill. Then he had to figure out how much it was going to take for us to have gas in the car, grocery, allowance, saving. And I would do this with him every 2 weeks. And I look at him today, and I don't even know if he remember it, but he managed his money well.
He does remember.
That's it. You need to write down everything you spend. You need he come back with my words on me. But, you know, the thing about it is that our children is the most precious commodity.
Okay.
And we have to cherish.
The true wealth, true riches.
Yes. They are future. And when Sister Clyburn says, if we don't train them up now, and that was, where did I wrote that down? It was, I'll tell you in a few minutes, because it came out of Proverbs.
Well, while you look for that, I just want to say that I'm so glad you had the foresight to sit your son down and have that experience together, because I'm sure that's the whole reason why he's so good with money today. And I wish I had had that when I was coming up. I've been terrible with money up until not too long ago. I had to listen to some of Pastor O's sermons about faith, finances, and you to get myself together as a grown person.
Well, you know what, and that is so true. I a lot of things we didn't know, and our parents did the best that they could, and I guess that's why each generation supposed to go out and extend themselves a little bit farther than the last generation, because I tell my young people that they don't owe us anything, but they owe us bragging rights.
Oh, that's good.
As you travel this great country, this great world, going different places, always take God with you first. But the thing about it, expand your mind, expand your dreams. And I'm here where in this statement here says, and this was for freedom, Proverbs 22:6, train them up in a way they should go. That means they should and will eventually lead. Your ultimate goal as parents is that your children will one day find independence, with the exception of those who may have special needs. Even in cases where there are maybe some special needs, the goals must be to encourage as much independence as possible. So in essence, we want our children to have the freedom to step out, but we want to give them the toolbox to carry themselves. And I think we were talking about this a little earlier about our children, giving them the freedom. Well, if they say that, well, I want to wear clothes, designer clothes. Okay. Well, how much do you think they're going to cost when you get grown? Okay, let's put inflation on it. So what type of job do you think you need in order to make that kind of money? And have a little project with them where you all research the kind of direction that they want to go into. Then you have to find out, well, what will it take you to be in this position? If you want to be a clothes designer and you want to be a top clothes designer, what do you need to do? Do you need to travel to Paris? Do you need an internship? Because it's going to take money. You're going to have skills. So that means that you have to go to school. Or if you want to be, say that you decide that you want to be an anchor woman or man on television, on the news, well, you have to go to school. Let's find out what broadcasting school you need to go to. And these are the directions that we want to go. And let them make that decision somewhere that they're going to be happy. But you have to do something.
Yes, and you were saying the importance of them getting the choice. And so it would be good if you could encourage them to make two choices.
That's very good. That's very good, because that way, even if that's why you have a major and a minor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we go to college, they say, what is your major and what is your minor? Because that way you are, it's a diversity there. You might get over here, not like it, but you have your minor to fall back on. I like that. And that's something that, and I guess in the future, we will have to take a look at. So, you know what? We have been talking, and I'm quite sure there's somebody out there in the listening audience. Press 1 if you would like to join in on this conversation, because this is a roundtable for us all. And somebody else has something so powerful to bring up, that click 1 and come right on in. Let us know. Give us your name when you come in.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Mrs. Pierce.
Hello. Mrs. Pierce.
Yeah. So, ladies, I just really enjoyed the prayers this evening, and everything you said was right on point, as usual. And just like Ms. Vandegrift stated about teaching your young people about finances, I did the very same thing she did when my sons were asking for Jordan gym shoes. I had bought them one pair, but because the friend that lived across the street was able to, a parent and grandparent was able to buy him a pair every month. Well, they wanted new gym shoes every month also. And so I told him, I said, I can buy you guys gym shoes with no problem, but where will we live? And so, yeah. And that's the mistake a lot of young parents make. They want to satisfy their children. They want to let them have on designer this and designer that. And Michael Jordan doesn't do anything for the community. You know, the parents are stressing themselves out trying to get them these designer things, and he's not sending money back to the neighborhood where they're or to the school. He's just taking. Michael Jordan hasn't played in over a decade, as far as I know. But yet he still is able to sell these ridiculous gym shoes that are made in China, probably for like 50 cents. And then we're spending hundreds of dollars for them. And so just like Vandegrift said, I also bought her my paycheck stub. And had both of them sit down there, and I showed them what I gross. It showed them where the gross was and how much taxes were taken out and how much in the end I really bought home that was our money for the household. And so I had my bills laid out there on the table, and we did a thing of adding and subtracting. And when we got finished subtracting and subtracting that, I was in the red. And I said to myself, I said, my goodness, I said, you know, I don't even know how I'm making it. And I just said, thank God. I said, that's why you have to thank God. I said, because we're still making, even though there's not enough money coming into the household.
Amen.
Yes. And so I told them, and I expressed to them that that's why it's so important to do well in school. I tried to tell them, I said, because one of them was not doing well at all. He was a class clown, basically. And I told him, I said, let me tell you. I said, even if you and your brother got a job at McDonald's, you wouldn't be able to afford the mortgage payment here. And so, and then, like I said, with the peer pressure at school, one time they said they came home and they were being teased about the shoes I had bought them from Dunham's, you know, New Balance. And, you know, at this point, I was just tired of them really, you know, complaining about them not having these crazy gym shoes. And so I said, well, listen, I said, be artistic. I said, you know, all this, the difference between the shoes you have on and the shoes that the boy across the street have, I said, it has a black, they took a black magic marker and made a check mark on the side of it. I said, go make your own check mark. Okay. And I told them, leave me alone. You know, and so I said, you know, it happened again, you know, where they say, Ma, they teasing us at the boys club about our Shaq shoes, you know, because Shaq, he sold his shoes. He said he felt sorry for parents. And so he put his shoe out there that was sold at Payless, if you remember. And so I bought them some Shaq shoes, and they said they were teased about that. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I bet you none of those kids who are teasing you have a bank account. I said, not only do they not have a bank account, they have no money in the bank. I said, you guys have been saving your money up ever since you were like 5 years old. I used to let them go to the bank and deposit their money in the bank from their father. And they had a little book that they kept track of how much they, you know, had. And so, and after they had so much money, I said, well, listen, when they complained about gym shoes, I said, well, listen, you can, if you want to take your money out the bank and buy just gym shoes, you're welcome to do that. But they said, no, they didn't want to spend their money. They wanted their mom's money. Okay. So I told them, I said, next, I said, tell you what, I said, you take your bank books to the Y with you. This is in the summertime. I said, take it with you. I said, when they start teasing you about your gym shoes, I said, you ask them how much money do they have in the bank. And at this, and you know, like they might have been like, you know, eight. I'm sorry, no. They were a little bit older than that, but they were over 10 at that point, okay? And so when they showed them what they had in the bank, okay, they didn't get teased anymore. So, yeah, they didn't get teased anymore. So it's important that parents really be honest with their children, let them know what it costs to maintain a household once they're old enough to understand. You know, you let them know that the water they run in the bathtub is not free. Let them know that when they get hot and want to turn the air conditioner, that that is not free. Or the heat that's keeping them warm in the wintertime, that that is not free. And when they turn off on their lights, you got to let them know that's not free. Give them that electric bill. Let them see what it costs, okay? And when they go to the grocery store, you know, let them be adding up. This is what, because they don't add too much anymore. They got calculators and things, and they scan things. So no one, these young kids have a hard time adding. They can't give money back when you change back when you give them a certain amount of money. Everything is computerized. So it's a good way to not only teach them a lesson about finance, but it teaches them mathematics. Really have to teach them about finance. And also you mentioned about Sister Kathy. She takes, like this summer, she took children on golf outings and how important it is for children to be out here in the public so that they know how to act. So when they go somewhere, that they know that they don't have to be a buffoon. You don't have to be the loudest person out there in the crowd. You know, be quiet. Be reserved. And that goes for young men and women. And so there's a lot of things you have to teach these young people. It's not about, don't let TikTok teach your children how to act out here. It's crazy. I used to send my children, I had season tickets at the baseball, at the Tigers baseball, where I got them through my job. We would share the season tickets. We would split the cost and share. And so I had about, every year I had about four games that I would purchase. Well, I couldn't go to the game. I would allow my son and two of their friends to go to the game. And I would just drop them at the door and then pick them back up. And I did this because I want them to see the other kids also. When they went down there and they set our seats were like about 8 rows behind the dugout, first base. Okay, it was right behind the opposing team's dugout, and so I wanted, when they walked into these, you know, 4 young black men, young teenagers or whatever they were at that time, you know, they, you know, I'm sure people say, well, with these kids walking down here, they know they don't have no seats. But yes, they did. And sometimes they had to make people, they had to get the usher to get people out of their seats, you know. And I want them to know how to, you know, what it, you know, what it felt like, how to, what the experiences, because no one expected them to be sitting right behind the dugout like that, okay. So they never had any issues. But you have to teach your children. There's so much you have to teach them. You know, you have to stay off this TikTok. Stay out of the camera on YouTube, plastering your face. You could be spending that time by reading. Reading is fundamental. We should never stop reading to our children, you know. There's so much you could do instead of wasting your time trying to be discovered on this internet thing.
Agree.
I'm a pause.
Those are so practical lessons that children need to learn to change their perspective. They need to know what the household bills are and what the monthly income is, and to get a chance to practice budgeting. And I'm so glad that you had that input, especially the part about the bank book. Now, that's the best clapback of all if someone is got the nerve to tease you about material stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And those, my young men, they and not only did those bank books make them feel proud, but, you know, I tried to teach them about trying to maintain good credit, okay? So by those boys having bank accounts since they were, like, about 5 or 6 years old, that's building their credit. And so when they get a certain age when they can start applying for credit, they already have had a bank account for over 15 years. They had already had a bank account. In fact, they had two. Okay. So, you know, that's not the thing we have to, you know, teach them is, you know, like we were talking about work, the power of words. And so if you, you know, try to tell your young people that, you know, say things that you're a lot smarter than the average kid your age. And they'll believe that. Because like I said, when they saw that the teasing stopped because they had money in the bank, you know, and they had their own bank books. And it's hard to find a bank now that they would give a children, I don't know why they stopped it, but they don't give kids the little ledgers anymore. My grandchildren have accounts at the Detroit DFCU, and I've always asked them, I said, well, do you have the little ledgers so they can keep track of their own money? They said, no, I wish we did. But they should. You know, back then, they had, those guys had their names on their bank, you know, imprinted in gold lettering, their names on their bank book, and they was really proud about that. So, yeah.
That is
these
so
children,
awesome. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the children, they, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just complimenting you that that's the power of action. You know, when faith without action is dead. So you're teaching them action, and it's a positive action here. Now they are saying to someone, I'm in control of myself, not what I have on in comparison to what you want, But I'm taking my money, putting it in a different vehicle,
mm-hmm.
rather than putting it on all material things because my shoes are nice. But yet and still, mm-hmm. I'm using another vehicle. In essence, they were saying, I'm more intelligent than you.
That's correct.
That's right. And that's why the bullying and the teasing stopped, because they stopped them in their tracks. And I was reading earlier, it's normal for children to want all of those things, but it's up to us to steer them in a different direction where your world is not based on materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had a very good point when you said either I could buy it for you, but where are you going to live?
Yeah, where are we going to live?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was so good too, as far as the power of words. When you tell your children you're smarter than the average kid, that mm-hmm. is a seed, and of course they're going to grow up to be smarter than the average kid, or whatever you mm-hmm. tell them, and whatever you speak out loud is powerful. So
mm-hmm.
you say, you are smarter. And then they say to themselves, I am smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a snowball.
Yeah.
So we need to teach mm-hmm. the importance of affirmations and declarations and how powerful your words are. Your thoughts are powerful, but your words are even more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to share with all of you a gift that I got from my big mama, one of the last of the big mamas. And it was on a little slip of paper, and it says, this is for always. I decree this thing. As I believe, so I think. As I think, so I speak. As I speak, so it is. I decree these things for myself. I decree perfection in my life. I decree wholeness in my physical body. I decree soundness in my conscious mind. I decree wisdom in my financial affairs. I decree right action in thought, word, and deed. I decree goodwill for any past hurts. I decree tranquility in my household. I decree success in my business. I decree perfect love in my relationships. I decree enlightenment. I decree peace. I decree self-assurance. I decree creativity. I decree freedom. I decree so it is done now and forever. And then she put Psalms 119:26 at the bottom. It says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. And in the NIV it says, I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. So I give this all to you.
Now, that was a powerful gift she gave you.
Yes.
You know what? And it's amazing how they were willing to give us those seeds of wisdom. And it was things that we take with us every day. And I was laughing this morning. Because when I was reading my Bible this morning, I was reading different chapters. But every day I always do the 23rd Psalms. And I was reading the others, normal reading. But when I got to the 23rd Psalms, I just breezed through it real quick. And I laughed about it because as we were growing up, our parents made us learn those those Psalms by heart, you know, because they wanted you to carry that with you the rest of your life. They knew what you needed to get through this. And those are some of the lessons that have been lost. Because children today, unless we pull them back together and teach them the value of knowledge and wisdom, the seeds that the elderly ones have that they could share with you, unless we pull that back together and have roundtable discussions, or now we're doing it on Zoom, and I'm so thankful that in the near future, Ms. Rebecca Johnson, you're going to do some great things on Zoom, I hear.
I understand that there are some workshops being planned, and I do have some skills that I can give. So I heard about the cooking and the baking with Mother Irma, and
okay,
that is a skill that's so important for squeezing a dollar. And she's good at baking from scratch. I'm sure she's good at all kinds of cooking. And I could also contribute because my specialty is crust. So if you want to learn how to make crust. My crust.
Ooh. Okay.
And then crocheting and knitting is something that I enjoy, and I would love to teach whoever wants to learn. And I never thought of teaching it on a Zoom, but I think that could work. And it's a good method of meditating and a way to ease tension, and you can make something practical. So I hope
We're looking forward to this and not only our youth. I think that more than the youth, I think that some of us that are not, well, we'll say we secondary youth that that's going to be joining in, cheering and having our. I remember the crocheting my mother used to do with that. I used to kind of like that. And I think it was one that we did with numbers, wasn't it? Some type of little crank we used to do with some kind of needle we did with numbers. I don't know what it is, but anyway, you used to make darlets. They don't have darlets anymore. Do you all remember darlets, Miss Pierce?
No.
I don't either.
Okay, well,
are you saying dollies or darlets?
Darlets. That's what they used to call them, darlets. They used to put them on the dresser or the chest. And they would have the mirror in the center of it.
Okay.
We doily. Call those doilies. Yeah.
Doily.
Doily.
Right. You had it wrong. I heard of doilies, but, you know, that's what I say. I've heard of, you know, not no darlings. I don't know that. But doilies,
yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
But either way, you know, I tell you what, we still are on the same page, whether we said it wrong or not. But we still on the same page. And I remember it. I was not one that was off into a lot of that. But I enjoyed a little bit of it. So, but I'm looking forward to that. That's a craft. That's something that everybody probably have quite a few students watching and participating. That's the thing about it, step-by-step learning while you're out there and participating. And even if you had questions, you're able to chime in and ask questions. I don't know what I'm doing or what that might be, but I think it'll be something great, and I'm looking forward to the new planning that expanding.
Mm-hmm. This is Mother Irma. It's Mother Irma. I thought I heard my name.
I fucked you up.
Well, I was listening. And I was chiming in, too, to extend the conversation as far as the kids and the shoes. And the thing about that is when you're spending all that money buying these shoes, a lot of the kids were even getting them stolen off their feet. And they didn't,
yes.
You know, they didn't pay for them, and the parents paid for them or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But then people even snatched them off the seat, and that was, I thought, so horrible for that kind of thing to happen. And also,
and
I was thinking
Irma,
about.
I was going to say, a long time ago, they were. This is back when Jackie would know, because she said her son is 50. But remember when they were stabbing and shooting each other for those silk shirts?
This is back in the
silk shirts were before the eyeglass. This is way back in the 70s, late 70s. Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also now the telephones are the going thing and so expensive, but even the little bitty guys know how to use them. Even my great grand, and he just turned 3, but he can beat me, punching holes and knowing how to bring everything up. So that's something, too, that we have to think about as far as kids getting their hands on these kind of things. And, you know, they didn't pay for them, or even the parents might say getting the newer style, and then the little kid gets the hold of the older one. And still, again, they're learning how to use them. But it's something to see how the people even trying to help you, as you might say, and getting a contract and wanting you or 2 or 3 people joining in, but then everybody doesn't always pay their part. And then you can get stranded not even having service because your other partner, whomever, didn't pay their part of the bill. And that even goes with some utilities where someone may not be able to get gas or light service turned on in their dwelling place or whatever. And then if they don't pay their part, and it's just putting them out, you know, when they don't pay their part, and the services are still going to be cut off. Or you're going to be responsible for paying the bill to keep the service on. So that's another thing we have to consider and teach the kids as to this kind of thing could happen. So I just thought I would make mention of that kind of thing does happen. I have experienced it even trying to be co-signer for your kid or your grandkid or however. And if they're not doing their part, it's something else to have to be a part of.
Stuck with it. Stuck with paying that bill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. So that's what I wanted to add to the conversation tonight, because it's something that needs to be considered as in our teachings.
Yeah, that's true. But we just can't wait for those cakes, can we, Mother?
Well, if you want to come over and get a piece of this pound cake that's sitting on the table today.
Oh, wow. Invitation.
I wish I would do anything to get out of this house, but under the circumstances, I'm not allowed to go to many places.
I understand that, too. But I'm trying to get back in the track of baking again, because I've been doing it for so many years, and that was my livelihood. That's what kept me going for so many years, is the baking as well as being a seamstress and teaching sewing and all that kind of thing. So I just thank the Lord that I knew how.
Yeah.
And that is what brought me through, and I just so grateful for it. So I'm going to get back in the swing of things. I'm hoping this year is the year. Lord, I'm given a new beginning.
Amen. The line is open if someone else wants to chime in and press one. If not, it's almost time for the awesome old to come in to bring us some wisdom and knowledge. Is there anybody else that have anything else to say?
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you were talking about the Zoom, the possibility of having this program on Zoom. I would like to have a class maybe once a week or whatever on showing teenagers how to write a paper. You know, when they get in school, a lot of them get stuck on writing papers because the teachers and the instructors do not give them the fundamentals of how you began to write a paper. I helped a few high school students get through their English classes by breaking it down to them. And this is what, you know, you're going to need to learn how to write when you get into your 11th and 12th grades and you go to your first year of college. It's very important that you understand how to conduct or how to put together a paper. So,
that's 100% true, Ms. Pierce. And I think that would be a great idea because a lot of times college students, if they know how to write well, there are programs, places out here that's looking for ghostwriters. You must know how to write. And a course like that where they can have someone like yourself to come in and give them, show them what they need to do in order to move forward with writing, I think that would be something that that we would really love. Because, you know, it is a writing. If you can write, you would not ever be without an income.
Agree. That's true.
And if they would just sit down and listen to someone like yourself that could actually put them in, steer them in a direction to love to express themselves. And they learn how to appreciate and love it. Then what would happen is that they also can expand themselves to make money. I know my nephew, and this was during the time that, you know, when my sister, his mother was here, and he would make his money that way. And he would write. And sometimes they would write programs for after-school programs. And sometimes he would make $1,000 just writing.
Yes.
And that was very good money for a child that was in junior high school and beginning of high school, you know.
Yes, that's a skill that will serve you for always.
Yes. So I think that that should be at the top of one of the things at the top of the list. We have so many things that we can share, and bring back the family is expanding to great heights, and I think that will be very good. I look forward to sitting in on some of your classes, Ms. Pierce.
Well, I have to get it all organized, but I would like to just pass on what I do know. So it's just like for them to just have a leg up or just be able to, because it's very hard when you, so the teacher said, okay, would you read a book report. I want you to write a paper. Well, it's like, well, what do you do first? And these are things that students get afraid or they don't know what to do. You know, so you have to give them some easy steps, 1, 2, 3. This is what you're going to do first. This is what you're going to do second. And how you're going to expand it. So, yeah. So, but I would teach them how I was taught.
Yes.
Capital but idea.
Yes, yes. And you know what, listening audience, I believe that was for anybody that's in the Detroit, Ecorse, River Rouge, Downriver area. Don't forget, young people, that the little essay about clean air. Don't forget, I mean, hey, $25. That's a cool, I mean, you know, it's a nice, it's something you could take yourself out to dinner with. You know, things are so expensive now. It probably cost that $25 for a meal, but hey, that's a meal that you got just because you experienced in writing. Like this is saying, you know, there is always opportunity out there when you know how the power of the ink pen. And I think that would be, you know, something great there. Even in the writing, if we could find programs where they can write and earn money for their writing, and they could see, you know, maybe we need, once you get that together and teaching them how to write, we could come up with something, and the ones they could participate in it. And you can look it over and see how good it is and where they need to correct it. And so they could use the power, learn how to use the power of the ink pen to be able to, sometimes you can make the money to pay a bill. So that's very important. Very important. I think Pastor O from my family will be coming on about 8:15, so we'll look forward to that. Is there anybody else out there in listening, in the audience that would like to chime in and give us some suggestions or tell us how you like the program or how you can be a great impact on your community? What are some of the people out there doing in their community to help? This organization is becoming, after a while, it's going to be so big that it's going to be a powerhouse all over the United States. Maybe somebody out there might have know how to play some music that might want to be give lessons in music, you know. Sometimes it might be somebody playing a horn or a violin or some type of instrument that can give a lesson on Zoom, because all of this helps our children and is paying forward. And I like that, where you are good. Your knowledge is no good if you can't pay it forward. And when you teach somebody else how to master the art of writing, the art of making cakes, the art of sewing, the art of knitting, the art of just having something, and I think Ms. Pierce said it earlier, having something that you can do, that you can, or it might have been Ms. Johnson, that you can meditate and you can relax It's your private little corner that you're taking time to do something that's enjoyable, that you can enjoy.
Agree. That was me. And to have a skill, an analog skill, to work with your hands and be quiet, and it will make a way for you.
Amen. That is so wonderful. You know, as we go before Pastor O comes on, we want to thank Sister Clyburn for her wisdom and her joy and the peace of mind that she has to work with the children. The children are so upset because she has that little bug that they can't get to her. But they will be back. She's getting better. She's getting better. And we know that she has so much to offer them. And they love her. They absolutely love her. And we are thankful for your gift.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, they're drawn to her light, and so am I.
Amen.
Oh, okay, so well, we have about, 4 minutes? We're trying to stretch it out for the awesome O. and you know what? We're so proud of the listening audience because in a lot of cases that, you know, they might not say anything, but there are a lot of people on and listening to this show that follows the show on a regular basis. And even though you're not saying anything, we appreciate you. We appreciate you as a listening audience, and your energy is felt. And that's what makes it go on and makes us move forward, because the energy and the positivity that you are sending us every Friday evening communications with our youth. I'm trying to see what Sister Kathy is, what she is saying here okay. So it just finally came up about the communication when I use words have power. And tuning in with us at Bring Back the Family every Friday at 7 p.m. We are thankful for you coming in. Thank you for joining us. And I believe we have 2 minutes for this awesome Pastor O. And we know that we're letting people know that tuning in is 646-915-8149. And if we don't help our children today, we will pay a price tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that is important. And if you have a skill, if you have something that you want to be able to be a part of this and teach on Zoom, join us. Let Sister Clyburn know that you want to be a part of this. And I'm quite sure next week she will be able to tell you how you can send her a message to get with her to see what you can do to help. Because you know what? Maybe you can't do it door to door, but you also can do it online and help so many children. So we have probably a half a minute, but we have our Sister Johnson, Rebecca. Would you like to introduce Pastor O?
Absolutely. Our very own shepherd, detective pastor. Oh, Gerald Marshall overall, that we love.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all know y'all too much, right? Jackie, my peers, and Rebecca, you know y'all some awesome co-hosts, I'm telling you. I know Kat was glad to have you guys. It was awesome listening to you. Love the discussion. You know, just a little bit on communication is everything, because they say a child learns everything. And, well, their pattern for learning is set when they're around 3 years old. So that means whatever they're like little sponges, and whatever we do is all they can see. And so that's what they mimic. And then when they get to the age when they can hear, then we should make sure that we are communicating in a way that helps them to become better communicators with each other. When children see us fussing with each other, they see that as a way of resolving conflict. And we try to tell them this is not a way to resolve conflict, but they see us do it. So our speech is going to have to show up in our walk, and it's going to have to show up in our talk. If we want to be successful communicators to the little sponges that are all around us. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when a child starts learning words, the cuss words seem to be the easiest ones they can remember. And the cuss words are the ones that seem to come out when all the friends come over. And then they come in and boom, there you go. So, and then we say, because if we're embarrassed in front of our friends and family, we say, what did you learn that? Well, you know, we all, that's a rhetorical question at best, right? We all know where they learned it. They learned it from us. So communication is everything. How do we communicate when the kids are in front of us and we open up a letter, and then the wife turns to the husband turns to the wife, and they start to discuss a bill. And then they start blaming each other for it, especially a credit card bill. They start blaming each other for it. And so that's not good communication, okay? They're picking up something from it, but it's not something positive that you want them to pick up. So a lot of the things we hear and see in the children around us today is what they saw and heard when they were sponges. And we tried to tell them when they caught us that, well, don't do as I say, don't do as I do. Well, that only works for so long. And then when they're out of your purview, then they do whatever they want to do. They say whatever they want to say. And we taught them how to say it. We taught them how to do it. But we always seem to act shocked when we see that behavior. Now, some of us, rightfully so, because we know we went to great lengths to make sure that they didn't get it at home. And so we can kind of tell when they got it outside. But somebody was talking earlier about trusting them, learning to trust them when they go out. Because if we've taught them and we've modeled in front of them good communication skills that lead to good life skills, then all we can do is pray and trust that they learned it and they'll handle it. For instance, Keila Freeman, you know, I know over the years she's done a lot of teaching to her sons, a lot of praying for her sons, and then one day they became heroes. They rescued a man who was unable to get out of a burning house, and they went and got him out. And, you know, that's when you see that what you communicated got through. They did what they saw. They did what they heard. So we communicate with words, but words create activities. Words precede everything that happens. I mean, even if it's just the words in our minds, they precede everything that happens. And when wars happen, words come out first. When fights happen, wars come out first. When arguments happen, of course, words come out first. So words precede everything. And so the words that we use around our kids, they hold up the actions that we take based on the words that we spoke. And they want to see those two working together. I may have told you about this before. I told our church about it, I'm sure. I was teaching Sunday school at my home church, First Baptist Church E-Course, and this was back in the day before I became a pastor. And I was teaching the teenagers. They was 15 to 17. Of course, some people never wanted to leave the class. We even had a person who was 37 years old, still in the class for 15 to 18-year-olds, but they liked it. But anyway, one of the kids came up to me because I was speaking highly of the parents and how they praise and be involved in the worship and got their kids in church and all that good stuff. And then one came to me and said, well, Pastor, Reverend Overall, I just want you to know that that's the way it is in church, but that's not how it is at home. And that was so sad. That was so sad. The communication that went on in the house behind closed doors, okay, found its way outdoors. And can you even imagine that this child, when they did reach an age where they couldn't be made to go to church no more, do you think they went?
Uh-uh.
We have a class coming up that Deaconess June Rogers is going to be teaching, and it's all about that. It's all about us being who we are. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we can make mistakes in communication in front of our kids, but let them be mistakes. And then they understand that parents aren't complete despots, right? But they make mistakes too. And then they do the right thing. They repent of the mistake rather than claiming, I'm an adult. I can do what I want. And so that communicates to the child, when I become an adult, I can do what I want. And then they start saying stuff like, I can't wait till I turn 18, then I won't have to. That means our communication was bad, and we've put some lessons in them and some teaching that's going to have to be unlearned over the adult years. And they could probably, who knows how long it'll last before they wise up and figure out that my parents may have modeled and communicated bad behavior in front of me, and it influenced me, but now I'm an adult, and I know better. I should do better. But how long does it take before they get there, before they get to the place where they stop blaming the people who were teachers? They didn't know it, but they were teachers. How long is it before they get there? So what do we communicate to them? It's imperative that we communicate to them. And then the conversation turned toward how are we communicating the use of finances. And that's a big one because a lot of parents, they don't teach their kids how to handle money. And then later on, if they're compassionate, caring parents, later on their kids are going to get into financial difficulties because they have no idea on how to use money. And so they waste it all up. And like T.D. Jakes said in his teaching on Maximize the Moment, he said that they buy everything they want, and then they beg for everything they need. So they buy their wants and beg their needs. And so how do we communicate to them good financial, to teach them to be financially literate? As we want them to be literate in everything else. And if we don't want their hand in our pocket after age 18, then we need to do something long before they get there. When we can actually give them money and they understand what money is, we should start teaching them the same things that we should be practicing ourselves. We should be practicing financial literacy in front of them, so that they see that I need to understand that money is more than buying things, okay? It has so many more purposes than just buying the things I want and desire. Money will purchase the things you need first. Then if you've handled it correctly, then you can get some of the things you want. And if you do real well with your money, then you can get the things you desire. See, the Lord knows and will provide what we need. Matthew 6:33, what is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. I think verse 32 says, don't be like the pagans, for the pagans seek after all these things, but your Father knows full well that you have need of them. Excuse me. So our needs will be met. That's without question. But then it's those things we want. All of us want things, and wants are an upgrade to needs, because wants are things we don't have to have. Needs are things we have to have, and God provides those. But he also gives us things we want. We need a car so we can go back and forth to work, right? But we want a car that's not a hoopty. Now, if we want something above that's not a hoopty, then we desire to have a Mercedes to drive back and forth to work, or a Range Rover, or whatever it is that you like. You see, so there's needs, a car that will keep going. Might not be what you want, but it'll go and come back. Okay, and then there's wants. Wants that's a little bit better than the hoopty. Okay, and then there's that desire. You get there, push a button, and the door open up like a bird flapping his wing, and then you, that's it. Okay. But we have to demonstrate to the Lord that we are financially literate and we're prepared for the things that we desire, and we want and desire in our hearts, because the Bible says it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the desires of our hearts. So God knows that we have desires, not needs. He's going to take care of that. He causes rain and the sun to shine on saved and unsaved people. Doesn't matter. They're going to get what they need. They didn't have scum here. But when he gets into wants and above that, get into desires, he'll do that. He'll do that. But he wants to see some real financial literacy taught to our children, and it's to our benefit. I don't know if you have children, and they're grown, that story they tell you about when they're 18 and they're out of your hair, you good, no more. That's really not true. Now they're grown, their bills just a whole lot more. You wish they were kids again. You wish this was some clothes for a party versus grown up bills. I couldn't pay my rent this month. I need $1,400. And you know, of course, you got money because you're growing trees, right? But no, you've practiced financial literacy, but somehow it didn't pass down to them. Somebody talked about a generational transformation, transferring things from one generation to the next, passing it down. Financial literacy is something that we need to pass down. It is amazing that our parents, my mother and father, it was nine of us living in the house. At one time when my sisters started having children, it was 15 of us living in one house, and they provided for all of us. How is it that these two parents could take care of 15 people living in one place, and none of us was losing weight, none of us was like, I'm hungry? So they did a very good job. But then some, you ever notice this, though, when those two parents die, 15 kids can't take care of two parents. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But what they practiced was delayed gratification. They wouldn't just buy things. They would wait it out, because back in the day, you know, no credit card. The best you could do was put it on the book at the corner store, or you could lay away. Those were your credit cards. Okay, you didn't run in the store and swipe nothing. You go in the store and put it in the layaway, and you pay on it till you get it out. And in the store, the corner store, you could go down there, and my mom would say, put it on the book, and you hand them the book, and they'd write in the book. They write in their book. You go back home with food. That was credit. And you could ask your parents, can I put this on the book? Because you were learning financial literacy without knowing it, just because they sent you to the store, okay? So So I just want to discuss a few things here. Create a spending plan and a budget. If you're spending more than you earn, you'll never get ahead. In fact, it's a sure sign that you're headed for financial destruction, really. If you have no plan and no budget, teach kids how to have a plan to budget. Because if they don't have any budget, then they won't be – if they don't have a budget, a bill will come in and they can't send the bill right back out because they haven't budgeted for it. They haven't saved for it, okay? Again, they just got everything they wanted. And when that bill come in, they're going to call you because you practice good financial stewardship, and they're going to call you and ask you, can you help them pay their bill? So to avoid them doing that, teach them how to have a budget. In other words, you want to know exactly how much money you have coming in. You want to know exactly how much money you are spending out. You don't ever want to get to the end of a year and say, wow, I made this much money? Wow, what happened to it? Well, that scares the Lord. That demonstrates to the Lord that you're not really financially literate. So what you want to do is teach your kids how to have a budget. Okay, if there are certain things they do every month, like I heard somebody saying, if you know that this is going to cost this much, then you know this is how much you need to put aside out of whatever allowance or pay you get until you get to the place where you can buy that. And it's a whole lot better. I know parents want their kids to have a better life than they did, but it is a whole lot better to let them earn the money. My father used to say to me,
"We have work to do in this world.
Daddy, do you have a nickel?" And he would say, "Yeah, but if I just give it to you, I'll make a poor hustler out of you." And so he wouldn't want me to work for that nickel. And then he would say stuff like, "Yeah, I worked all week to get this nickel, but you're going to go down the street and spend it in a second." He wanted me to understand how much effort went into getting that nickel and how I should put some thought into what I do with that nickel. Of course, I didn't. I just went and bought candy with it. But anyway, he was doing his best to tell. And when you would borrow money from him, he would tell you, he would reach out the money to you and then snatch it back toward him and say, "Remember, a duck needs his bill more than once." Then he'd give you the money. And when you didn't pay him back and you went to get some more money, you know what he would say? "Didn't I tell you a duck need his bill more than once?" And suddenly you understood what that meant. The duck didn't just need to eat today. He going to need to eat tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So take care of your bill. And I didn't take care of my bill, so I couldn't borrow. And he literally would not loan you no more money. You had to suffer the consequences. So teach them to have a budget. Teach them to know exactly how much money they have coming in and how much they want to spend out. You have $5 a week coming in. You get $20 a month. You want some $200 shoes. How many weeks is it going to take you to get them shoes? Okay? Or have you saved from the money you've been getting? And if you get those shoes, what is that going to do to the money you have left with the obligations that you have for that money? So teach them to have a budget. Teach them to pay off debt. Intentionally give them a certain amount of money a month. Let them waste it up. And then let them come to you in that month and say, "Can I have some more money?" And you say, "Well, you're going to owe me." And they say, "Okay," and you give them the money. Then at the end of the month, when you come into the next month, when you give them a certain amount of money a month, they come to you for that money because you give it to them every month. And then they say, "It's time for you to give me my money." You say, "Oh, yeah, okay. Well, wait a minute. I see on the books here you owe me as much as I'm going to give you." "Okay, well, you don't have anything coming this month. You've already spent it." And then you let them go through that month with no money. No money. And then next month when they get their money, they'll think about how to spend that. They'll understand you don't want to be in debt, because when you're in debt and you get your check, you might not even get one. Why? Because it's all owed out, and you'll be living what's called check to check, and you want to break them up from that. That's the best way to break from people up from that payday loan stuff. That is unless you can pay them people back, the money you owe them, don't go. Okay, so stay out of debt. And then teach them to prepare for the future, to set savings goals. You know, saving money for the future is crucial. If you don't set savings goals and steadily work at towards them, you will have to rely on credit when time gets tough. And I remember saying one time back in the 90s that I thank God we have these credit cards. If something go wrong, we got something to help us. Well, something went wrong. We ran them babies all up, and then they were helpless. And the Lord said, oh, your help is broke. I'm like, Jesus, I need help for my help. But, you know, I learned a lesson. I learned a serious lesson, okay? But set savings goals. If you learn how to save, you won't get into a tough time and need credit. You'll have the money to take care of the tough times. That's what savings is all about. Savings is like an insurance plan. Okay, at our church, in this, we teach 10, 10, 30, 50, 10% for God. Teach your kids how to tithe. Don't teach them to grow up being non-tithers. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them how to put God first. If you don't teach them that, I don't know what you're teaching them about the place God has in their life. Okay, teach them to put God first and then put themselves second. 10% for them in savings. What if you give them $5.50 in savings? Put it away. That's your savings out of the $5. You got $4.50 left, right? And then 30% of that is spending on whatever you want. Or you could say, I don't need to spend it. I'm going to put more towards saving. And now you've increased your saving. It's no longer 10%. It could be 15, 20%. And you still have 10% to spend. And then the other 50% is for their bills. For kids, whatever it is they like to do a lot and it costs money, that's what they're saving for. That's what the money is for. So teach them to set savings goals and then teach them to take some of their money, okay? I think it was a certain amount of money you could save for 250 days, give you $500. There are some mutual funds that you can open for $500, okay? If you can gather up 6% interest over a certain number of years, then you could get up as far as $253,000 based on a 6%, and that's super conservative interest rate over those 30 years, okay? But teach them how to save, okay? And teach them to start saving early. Not later, but early. Teach them, they could save up enough money for college. If most young folks, especially 20 years old, let's say 20 years old, and they start saving for in a retirement plan that yields at least 6% over 30 years. They start working when they're 20. They turn 50. They should have $253,000 in retirement earnings. But if they save more than that, okay, I think that was based off $100 per month, okay, over 30 years, that would produce $250,000. Now, if you saved over $100 a month over 30 years, triple it up, quadruple it up. But this is just the baseline, just to teach you the value of starting to save early. And it's never too late to start. You know, teach them to sit down and decide if they really want this thing that they think they really want. Because once they spend the money on it that they've saved, it's gone. And now they got this thing, and this thing we all know won't last forever, whatever it is. Even if it's a new phone, they actually bought their own phone. Well, next week they got the iPhone 19,000. And you got to have that. So now you've had your phone a week and it's already outdated and you don't want it. So teach them to make, not to make rash decisions about big financial purchases. Okay? And teach them to sleep on it. You know, I once heard, I knew this woman who would go and buy something. And then overnight she would decide she didn't like it and would take it back to the store the next day. Well, hey, there you go. But what if you really go to the store, you see the thing? Some people will go ahead and buy the thing because they're scared the thing ain't going to be there the next day. But what if you go to the store, see the thing, want the thing, you feel passionate about the thing, but you decide to go home and practice delayed gratification, not in the sense that you're trying to not put something on credit, but in the sense that you're not trying to rush into nothing. And you wake up in the morning and you don't, the emotional rush you was feeling the day before is not there anymore. And so you slept on it and you decided, hey, I don't really want that thing. I thought I did, but I don't. I think what I'm going to do with the money I was going to spend on that thing, I think I'm going to go ahead and put it into my Fidelity. You know, you can get a Fidelity fund, and you can put it into an index fund. That way your risk is not great. Or you can get, like my brother Richard, he loves TD Ameritrade, okay? You can pick funds on there that's automatic. They're 60% stock, 30%. 40% bonds. That way, if the stocks are crapping up, the bonds are going up. If the bonds are yield is going down, then the stocks naturally are going up. That's when bond yields go down. And so either way it goes, you're making money or you're not losing a whole lot of money. And teach them to be educate, help them to learn how to educate the ignorance on finances and be serious about it. And then at a certain age, teach them how to pay bills so they're used to it. So when they're 18, it's nothing new. I've been doing this since I was 10. I've been saving money since I was 10. Oh, I think I'm a little bit over time. So, yeah, this is deep. Communication. And communication is everything. And so we can communicate not just with words. For instance, and I'll close with this. And for, I love it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, seek to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. You'll win the respect of those who are on the outside, your kids, okay? And you won't be dependent on anybody. That is the word, the Lord's word to us. And so if we're going to talk about communicating to our kids, we're going to talk about the value of words, then we should value each word that God allows us to speak in front of them. Every word we speak in front of them ought to be a word that makes them better, a word that helps them in the future. We should be intentional and understand that everything we say and do is a teaching to them. Whenever you, I said it last week, I'll say it again, whenever you come into the presence of young people, I don't care if they're babies, they respond, okay? Or if they're 18-year-olds. They respond. They look at everything you do. You walk into their presence as a teacher. It's like you walked into a classroom and everybody said, morning, teacher. That's because you just walked into an opportunity to teach. Jesus said we should always be able to give an account of the hope that's in us through Christ Jesus. So we should be intentional about that. All right, I'm through preaching.
That was wonderful. That was awesome.
That was wonderful, Pastor O. We're going to have to get Coach Joshua Jackson back on so he can kind of teach the people how to bypass the middleman and get a higher interest rate on those savings.
Exactly. So you know I loved hearing him.
Yes. Also, we need... For those that don't know, I do teach people how to cover their income, and that's very important as well. But since we are at the close, we want to know that we have work to do,
We have work to do. And I say it again because Bring Back the Family, their mission statement is block by block. Do something on your block to help our youth because we have work to do. I thank you. I enjoyed everybody. Sister Johnson, Sister Pierce, Pastor O, I truly, truly love you guys, and I thank you for joining me and on this journey. And we look forward to Sister Kathy Clyburn back next week. And I guess it's time for her to put her music on.
All right.